little thing called murder.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to A Little Thing Called Murder. I'm Jaden.
And I'm Megan. How are we today?
Yes, we hope you are having a fabulous, wonderful, magnificent, etc. day, night.
Wherever this finds you.
Yes.
So, how was your weekend? We had, Father's Day.
Oh, yeah.
Did you do anything fun?
Well, on Saturday, I had a friend's wedding, and she listens to the podcast. Shout out to Tegan.
Oh, hi, Tegan. Congratulations. You have been so busy with all of these weddings. I'm so jealous.
I know. I've literally barely been to any weddings in my whole life. And, like, the majority of them have been in the last 2 weeks.
Well, that's not a bad thing, because weddings are, like, so much fun.
They are so much fun. I love them. My favorite thing about weddings is watching the groom. Like, seeing how happy he is. Oh, it's my fucking favorite thing in the whole world.
Tyler better cry, and then I'll start crying. And
dude, he fucking better cry, or I will walk my ass back. And we'll start the song over.
You'll be like, wait, that wasn't good enough. Yep. We're doing a redo. Pretend like you didn't just see me. And then come back out. And everyone better be fucking sobbing.
Well, I'm still deciding whether or not I want to do a first look beforehand or not. Tyler says he doesn't. But when I was at my cousin's wedding, she was like, I'm really glad I did a first look. Because she was like, I was a fucking mess, like, sobbing because she was like, I was so happy to see him. Yeah. And so I'm like, that's gonna be me. I'm gonna be sobbing. I'm like, do I want to walk down the aisle fucking sobbing?
I do.
Like a psychopath.
Oh, I do. I 100% do. I don't know. I'm more on like the old fashioned like way of things, like when it comes to weddings, because I don't want to see the groom beforehand. Mm-hmm. I don't want to do the first look, but mm-hmm. Those videos of seeing them do the first look, like, it's so special. Right?
And that was another thing, because, like, I feel like I don't want a first look either, but, like, when my cousin did it, like, it was only those two and the photographer, like, no one else. So it was, like, their personal moment, like, seeing each other that day.
Bless you.
It was like a burp. Like, it didn't actually fully
I know.
But yeah, so I'm like, oh, that's really cute. So I don't know. I'm still
I totally get what you're saying, because seeing more of the videos, like, I am torn, but, like, I don't know. I guess I'll have to know, like, I'll know once I find my husband, I guess.
I feel like I'll make the decision, like, the day of. I'll be like, you know what? Fuck it. This is what we're doing today.
Yeah. Because, like, if I do want a first look, I feel like I would want it to just be me and my husband and the photographer.
Right? Because it's, like, it's special. Mm-hmm. But it's special either way, and I don't know which specialness I want. But I do think I want the first look with, like, my girls, or the first look with me and the guys. And Tyler with his guys and Tyler with the girls. So I don't know if I'll do that before the wedding or if it'll be like.
Wait, I like that. Seeing all the groom or like the groomsmen first.
Mm-hmm.
And then because like I feel like the best part is when you're in the bridal party and you're all getting ready together.
Yeah.
You know, so the girls will have already seen you.
Mm-hmm.
But I like that idea of getting all the groomsmen. And then they can do the first look. And then you walk down. But that's when the groom sees you the first time.
Mm-hmm. And then we can get a lot of the pictures out of the way beforehand. Like, before even guests show up. So, like, that interim after the ceremony, before the reception stuff, doesn't take as long. Because we've knocked out a lot of the pictures, you know? I don't know.
Playing into that, I feel like I'll end up, like, after the ceremony, I'll have, like, an open bar for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But minus like the family and like the bridesmaids, like all the important pictures, like we can all do that, and then all the other guests that are invited can go like get drinks and then start getting like all hyped up for like the reception.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I need to find me a man's first.
Well, you can help with mine.
Okay.
So, because we're doing, like, tacos and stuff. So, we're going to do, like, a salsa bar and a queso fucking fountain. I will have one there. So, that's what we're going to do, like,
in the interim. I'm so excited for this wedding.
Right? Good. I'm glad. I hope I can make it all a reality, my vision, but.
Oh, you will. I just flash back to the first time we met. Oh. And at the end of us meeting, you were like, oh, you're coming to my wedding, right? And I was like, oh, my God. Like, I feel like normal people would be like, that's weird. But I was so excited.
I feel like this is, like, one of the most, how do I phrase this? Like, the subject we have talked about the most on this podcast. I feel like we've told this story, like, 12 fucking times.
Because it's so random.
What about you?
Me? Okay, so I went out with my friends on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And so since I've been with my roommate, every mm-hmm. time we go out, like, I'm either the one that, like, drives or we drive separate kind of thing. And she's like, this weekend, you're getting drunk. I'll play mom. Like, let's go. And I was like, okay. Because, like, so when I was in college,
mm-hmm.
baby Megan, okay?
Uh-huh.
When I was in college, I messed up. Okay. I beer bonged a funnel full of Svedka, all right?
Okay.
It all went down. It all came back up shortly later. Oh, but
that sounds terrible.
It was horrible. And I'm an idiot. Don't ever do it, especially during a crate race for all of my state friends.
Fucking yep. crate races. Can we bring those back?
No.
I want to do a fucking crate race.
No, we are not bringing back.
Yes.
No, I like day drinks. Or if you're not participating in the crate race where you're just, like, getting drunk. Mm-hmm. However, my competitive ass takes it to a whole new level. And my one friend came up to me and she was like, I bet you won't do it, bitch. So then in that moment, I was like, mama didn't raise no bitch. So yeah. I took it. And it all, I took it all.
Yeah.
Like a champ. And since that day, I have not been able to get drunk. Like, if I start to get tipsy, mm-hmm. my body just, like, shuts down and is like, nope, you're done. And it's just water for the rest of the night. I don't know why.
Interesting.
But it's always been that way.
You're so responsible.
But not by choice.
Your subconscious is so responsible.
I know. I hate it. It's horrible. Like, let me fuck up. Come on. So, by the way, 10 out of 10 should have gone to the hospital that night. But anyways. So, Friday, I went hard, all right? And it was weird because I was drunk, but then at mm-hmm. the end of the night, I just got so tired. I looked at my roommate. I said, can I have your keys? I need to like, sleep. So, I went into her car at, like, 1:30 and passed out until whatever time she came back and was knocking on the door like, Megan, let me in. We gotta go.
Oh, my God.
I was out. Like, I didn't want to be that bitch to fall asleep at the bar. So, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go to the car and sleep. So, that was my night Friday.
Love that. Love that so much.
It was actually a lot of fun. But, I of course, now I'm just like, oh, my God, was I too much? Was I obnoxious? And it's like, Megan, you never get drunk. So, like, no, you're fine. But, anyways. So then Saturday went over to my parents and I was exhausted the entire day because mm-hmm. it wasn't even that I was like hungover. I was just tired.
Yeah. Tired. Being old. No, you're not. Get the fuck out of here. No, no, no. I changed my mind. I retract that statement. They always forget that you're younger. You piece of shit.
By a year.
How old are you right now?
I'm 24.
I think it's 2 years.
You just turned 26, though.
And you just turned 24.
Like, what is it?
Fine. A year, almost 2 years. Because March, April made you 3 months. 3 months. A year and 9 months older than you.
Okay, well, I mean, theoretically, I'm not that young by, like,
you're right,
maturity.
But your body should be able to handle this liquor, Megan. God.
Okay, it doesn't.
Kidding. I'm just kidding.
Because
I'm
just fucked kidding. Up. I know I fucked up.
Just kidding. I'm just kidding.
Wow, these conversations have gone all over the place today already. But, all right, in summary, to wrap it up, was super tired yesterday, was kind of bitchy yesterday to my parents. Mm. Sorry, parents, but more so my mom, because, like, I kept telling her how tired I was. We went to the store mm-hmm. to go pick up some, like, last-minute Father's Day stuff and all that jazz. And mm-hmm. also my dad's birthday is tomorrow, so happy birthday, Dad, if you're listening.
Yes, happy birthday.
So we're out, and I'm like, Mom, I'm so tired. Like, I'm not going to last much longer. So on the way home, she's like, you know, what kind of games can we play with Dad tonight, or, like, when we get back? And I said, Mom, I'm taking a nap. And she was like, oh, okay. I was like, I'm sorry. So then we get home, and she's like, Megan, can you walk the dogs? And I just gave her this look, and she just starts cracking up. So sorry, parents, for being a little bit of a brat yesterday, but
that's the worst. I hate when I'm a brat to my parents. In the moment, you don't, like, I mean, you obviously know, but you're just, like, reacting. And mm-hmm. I feel so fucking shitty after. I'm like, I'm sorry.
Me too. And it's, like, especially when you're tired.
Yes.
Like, it's just, you're just grumpy.
Yep.
And then I take a nap, and then after, I'm like, Mom, I'm so sorry.
Yeah. So, like, I'm a fucking asshole.
I mean, you raised me like this, so.
Yeah, it's actually your fault, so you're welcome.
I could be so much worse.
Exactly.
Count that as a blessing.
Yeah.
But no, so today, we're recording Sunday mm-hmm. night. It was super nice. We went out golfing. Ooh. And had, like, a really nice dinner, so it was fun. My brother came home from Pitt, so we were all together, and it was just very nice. So, yep, that was my weekend in summary.
That's nice. I feel so shitty because I didn't go home today, because I would have had to go home today, and it would have been basically 3 hours of driving, which is a fuck ton. I haven't been at my house for a weekend since, like, before Memorial Day, and I'm going home next weekend for our family reunion. So I was like, I'm so sorry, Dad. I'm just gonna stay at my house. I mean, he was like, oh, it's fine, you know? But, like, I still feel shitty, but.
Well, get something special and make it up, like, when you go next weekend and be like, I know I suck.
Yeah, I know.
But here you go. Happy belated Father's Day.
Well, I'm gonna make him something on my Cricut.
Yes, we love personalized
right?
stuff. Yes. I wish I had one, but I know I would never use it.
Yeah, I'll just make you things. Or you can make things with me.
Yes!
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Come on up, girlfriend.
Oh, heck yeah. I need to come back up. It's been a minute.
Yeah. Also, I've decided that I just fucking hate wine. You know, I keep trying to force myself to like it. This connects.
Okay.
Just bear with me, everyone. But, like, I'm always like, oh, you know, everyone fucking loves wine. So everyone's like, try this one. And I try it. I'm like, this is shitty. I fucking hate it.
So you didn't like the wine that I brought?
I didn't try it.
Okay.
So that's why I was saying you should come up, because I will probably not like it. And then you can drink it.
Okay, perfect. Because that's my favorite wine.
But yeah, like, I've decided that I just don't like alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And which is why I drink vodka and water. Oh, wait, did I tell that story? From when we were at the DA thing? How, because, yeah. So, I don't know if I've said this before. I drink vodka and water with limes. Or sometimes you just drink vodka on the rocks and then the ice melts and it's fine.
Same thing.
Yeah, right? So, at the conference, they had, like, an open bar-y thing right after each thing for, like, an hour or so.
That was a great description.
Was
they had
bad?
This open bar thing at this end of the thing.
I mean,
I do the same thing.
If no one has realized so far, I'm really great at describing things. You're welcome.
Same, though. Same.
Also, quick side note. every time I say you're welcome, has anyone ever watched Awkward from like back in the fucking day? Sadie? Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. You're welcome. Anyway, back on track. Okay. Yeah, so the two attorneys I was with were like, Jaden, you cannot get vodka water because that is what psychopaths and serial killers drink. So you have to at least just get like vodka and vodka soda. So I was like, okay. But then
one of the other, right?
But then one of the other ADAs from Allegheny, she was like, yeah, they told me the same thing. Like, I guess her people. So she's like, I also got vodka soda. But she's like, normally I drink vodka water. I was like, thank you. Thank you. It's not weird because you're hydrating while you're drinking. So you're not going to get hungover because there's no sugar in the drink as well. So maybe I'm just fucking smart and you're dumb. That's what I say to everyone who talks shit on my drink.
But there's still alcohol in it, which dehydrates you.
Yeah, but you're drinking fucking water. And there's no sugar. Like, sugary drinks, I don't drink because it'll make me hungover. Mm. So it's just great.
My drink of choice is always a gin and tonic because I'm an old
friend. Fuck gin. I tried it one time because we were at this one bar up in Michigan called, like, what was it called? I don't know. But it was, like, a super cool, like, arcade. I think that's what it was called. The arcade. And I was like, ooh, this thing sounds so good. But I was like, oh, I don't know if I like gin. And she was like, well, I can do vodka. But I was like, no, we'll try gin. I was like, Tyler, will you drink this? Because this is fucking foul.
I love gin and tonics. I'm not going to lie.
No.
Gin and tonics and then dirty martinis.
Mm. I've never had that. Mm. Vodka all the way. Top S tier. My favorite.
Well, you can get a vodka martini.
I'll make one. Make one for me.
Okay.
Or we'll go get one.
Do you like olives?
No.
Then you probably won't like it.
Okay.
See, I like extra dirty martinis, which is like they pour like some of the olive juice in there with it.
Hmm.
So good. So well, good.
Olives are just like salty, right? Does it just make it salty?
No.
I would try it.
It just gives you like that olive taste. Okay, when we go out, I'll order one and then you can try mine and then base it from there.
Okay, I like that idea. I like that idea.
However, I like to get gin martinis. I'll get a vodka martini just for you.
You don't have to.
I can.
Okay.
I like them both, but my drink of choice is either a gin and tonic or a gin martini. See, you say how young I am, but like I am so much older beyond my years with what
your
I
taste drink. Buds are an old lady.
Apparently. But it's kind of like a good memory because like when I was younger, not that like my parents would let me, well, they would let me have like a sip of their stuff. And when I was younger, I was like, ew, that's gross. I'm never going to drink it. But it's always this bittersweet memory that like my grandma would always give me her olives to her martinis. So it's like when I drink one, it makes me think of her. Or they'd always have gin and tonics. Like that was their thing. Gotcha. So I think that's what I kind of like associate those drinks with.
That's cute. I love that. Oh, also, you'll have to come up because I told Rebecca, I was like, I don't know if this is your scene or not, but I really want to, like, drunk white girl dance at a bar, like, oh, ASAP. Fuck yeah. And she was like, yo, I'm fucking down for that, so let's do that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Trashy white girl dance, that's what I want in my life.
Girl, I got you.
Right now, man.
I got you.
But yeah. So anyway, I guess we should get into it.
Yeah, let's get started. I'm excited to hear what you've got for me.
Okay, so originally I wanted to do a different case, but when I was looking into it, I couldn't really find anything besides like just the legal stuff, like not even like the legal trials, like literally just like the case law which came from it.
Okay,
so I went in a different direction. Maybe I'll keep trying to find stuff. Maybe eventually I'll be able to do it. Do I want to say what I was going to do or not? Should I say it or no?
Nah.
So, mine is Gary Heidnik, which is, I think, how you say the name. I got my stuff from Wikipedia, an Oxygen article, And it's called Criminal Minds Wikipedia, ooh, which is because I think they reference this guy in, like, an episode or two. Okay. So that's why he's on there. But, yes. Okay. So, for Gary, which, actually, can I tell you this quick TikTok thing I saw? I don't know. Maybe we should cut it out. I'll let you. You can decide. Okay. But it was like, oh, don't talk shit on me if I've, like, made you moan or whatever, like, sexually, you know.
What?
And the dude, his name was Gary. He was like, my name is Gary, and I made you moan Gary. Do you know how good I have to be to make you say Gary? So, yeah, that's what I thought of.
But I've never seen that. You need to send it to me.
I'll try and find it. I'll send it to
okay.
you. So this story is also kind of called, like, the House of Horrors or the Monster Preacher. Ooh. And so, obviously, you'll know it, how they got those names as I keep telling the story.
I feel like I know the House of Horrors reference, but I'm gonna hold my applause till the end.
But I also, like, I feel like House of Horrors is kind of used for
a lot of people. Yeah.
But, so, I don't know. You might know it. It's not, like, a super, like, out there one, I don't think.
Okay.
So, Heidnik was born on November 22nd, 1943. He was raised in the East Lake suburb of Cleveland, Ohio. Sorry if you're from Ohio. Ohio fucking sucks. Worst state. That's where I had my accident. Fuck Ohio. Plow your fucking roads. Anyway. He had a younger brother named Terry, and his parents got divorced in 1946. Him and his brother were raised by their mother for 4 years before being placed in the care of their father and his new wife. Heidnik later claimed that he was often emotionally abused by his father. So he had a lifelong issue of wetting the bed and claimed that his father would humiliate him by forcing him to hang his stained sheets from his bedroom window in full view of their neighbors. Yeah.
That is so fucked up. Oh my God, this is like our case last week where the uncle made him wear the diapers.
Uh-huh.
On his head?
Yeah.
Oh my but God, also, it's humiliating though.
Yeah. Like, what, like, why? How, like, do you think I'm peeing the bed on purpose?
Purpose, yeah.
But
that's so messed up.
But wetting the bed, check that off on our serial killer bingo. At school, Heidnik did not interact with his fellow students and refused to make eye contact. You know, that's never good. Mm-mm. He was teased about his oddly shaped head, which he and his brother claimed was the result of him falling out of a tree when he was young. His schoolmates called him football head. You know,
no.
another square blocked off on serial killer bingo.
Yeah.
Head injuries. The one article mentioned that one time a new female student asked him if he got the homework done, and apparently he yelled at her and told her that she was not worthy enough to talk to him.
Ew, what? Wait, he said that to her?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, if that's true, like, fuck you, man. But, I mean, it makes sense with the rest of the story that he apparently, I think, hates fucking women.
Mm.
Love that. Love that.
That's good.
But he performed well in school and had an IQ of 148.
I want to know what my IQ is.
It's probably zero. Not yours. Mine. Mine is probably like zero.
But, I mean, you're probably right.
At the age of 14, with the encouragement of his father, he enrolled at Staunton Military Academy in Staunton, Virginia for 2 years, but he left before graduation. He went back to public school, but dropped out and joined the Army when he was 17. He served in the Army for a year and a month. During basic, his drill sergeant graded him as excellent. After basic, he applied for several specialist positions, including military police, but he was rejected.
That probably hurt his ego a good bit.
Oh, yeah. He was sent to San Antonio, Texas to be trained as a medic and did well through training. However, he was transferred to the 46th Army Surgical Hospital in Landsfeld, West Germany. I don't fucking know. At first, I was, like, reading my notes. I was like, is that a typo? But then it said Germany. I was like, oh, I don't fucking care. I don't know what it is.
I mean, your guess is as good as mine.
So. Right? So, within weeks of his new posting, he earned his GED. In August 1962, he started complaining of severe headaches, dizziness, blurred vision, and nausea. A hospital neurologist. Also, I don't know why the word hospital needs to be in front of neurologist. Like, is that different than just a regular neurologist? I don't know.
I have
no. But I put it because that's what the site said. So, diagnosed him with gastroenteritis. I don't know. And noted that I'm not a fucking doctor.
What?
I feel like no one knows why, but anytime I say, like, anything about doctors, I say a British accent because Fat Amy was like, oh, you should probably listen to your doctor. And so anytime I say anything short clip about doctors, I'm like, yeah, you should probably listen to your doctor. No one probably knows what I'm talking about. And they're like, did she just use a British fucking accent?
I didn't catch, like, I heard the accent, but I didn't realize that it was referencing Fat
Amy. Oh, yeah.
I love Fat Amy.
But okay. So he diagnosed him with that and noted that he also displayed symptoms of mental illness for which he was prescribed trifluoperazine, I don't know, and which is also called stelazine, another word I don't know.
keep getting all these good medical terms in.
Right. In October 1962, he was transferred to a military hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where he was diagnosed with schizoid personality disorder and therefore honorably discharged from the military.
So, real quick, my question is, schizoid the same thing as like schizophrenia?
I would say yes. I don't know. The website said schizoid, so which is why I wrote that.
Gotcha.
If you know, write in. Let us know. We want to know. Shortly after his discharge, he became a licensed practical nurse and enrolled at the University of Pennsylvania, but dropped out after one semester. So, you know, he's really good at trying new things and then fucking quitting. Yeah. Love a quitter.
Oh, my God. That was one thing my parents would never let me do if I started something and then ended up hating it. They're like, nope, you're finishing it.
Yeah.
I was like, but I don't wanna.
Yeah. He worked at a Veterans Administration hospital in Coatesville, but was fired for poor attendance and rude behavior towards patients. Like, don't be in a field where you have to help people and then be fucking rude to them. Like,
right? No, it makes, there's so many instances that I have dealt with people that give me attitude and it's like, bro. Like, and it's not even, like, I was giving an attitude or anything. You know me. Like, I get super paranoid. Yeah. Like, in general, like, if anyone thinks that I'm giving anyone an attitude, so I'm, like, overly nice when I talk to people, like, at a store or something or asking a question. And if they come back, like, real snarky, it's like, bro, customer service, like, come on.
Yeah. And especially, like, at a hospital, these people are trusting you to care for them. Like, don't be a dick. Like, you're there to fucking help them. Oh, I hate people. Me I mean, obviously we hate this man, but you know, this just adds to it.
Yeah.
Well,
we still don't know what he's done yet, so.
Buckle your fucking seatbelts.
Oh, great.
From August 1962 until his arrest, spoiler alert, in March 1987, he spent time in and out of psychiatric hospitals and had attempted suicide at least 13 times.
Wow.
In 1970, his mother, who was diagnosed with bone cancer and was suffering the effects of alcoholism, committed suicide by drinking mercuric chloride? Whatever the fuck that is. His brother also spent time in mental institutions and attempted suicide multiple times.
Oh, geez. So there's clearly some sort of hereditary mental illness going on in this family.
In October 1971, he incorporated a church called the United Church of the Ministers of God. Yeah. And it started out with only 5 followers. He was its ordained minister, and he was known as Brother Heidnik. Love that. Yeah, he made a fucking church.
Okay. I'm just going to keep listening before I say anything.
No,
is
you
this
can
like
make
another like Jonestown kind of situation or like
no.
Okay.
No. In 1975, the initial deposit into the church's bank was about $1,500. Eventually, it amassed over $500,000, which in today's money is $1,180,000.
Wait, so like someone would have to pay that much?
No, so I think that's what he originally put in, like when he opened the church's bank account, that's how much they started with. And then I think after like all the money that it accrued and stuff, it became fucking wealthy as fuck. Like by 86, it was thriving and super wealthy.
What the fuck?
Yeah, right?
How?
I guess we have to open up a fucking church.
Well.
Oh my god. It was funny. So, random story. Are you guys surprised? when my mom and I were flying back from Denver, I got one of, like, the aluminum water bottles, because apparently they're, like, more eco-friendly and whatever, and they help fund something for the earth. I don't know. I can't remember. The bottle's downstairs. But so I had that work the other day, and one of the people I work with was like, what is that? Is that holy water? I was like, yeah, and it's burning me from the inside. But anyway.
That's funny. How did he even know how to like start a church? Like, did he just wake up one day and was like, this is what I'm gonna do?
I have no fucking idea.
Like, what year was this?
He started in 1971.
That makes sense. That was like the rise of all of the cults and everything.
Yeah.
All right. That makes sense.
He used a matrimonial service to meet his wife, who he wrote to by mail for 2 years before proposing to her, aka she was a mail order bride. Love that.
Maybe that's what I need to do to find my husband.
Maybe. I mean, it was just like the old fashioned like Tinder, right?
Apparently. That makes sense. Makes sense.
But I think you pay for them. Like you
can pay for Tinder.
Yeah, but you don't like pay the person to marry you, right?
Oh. No.
I think mail order brides, you actually pay them and then
Are they still a thing?
I don't fucking know.
I'll have to look into it. Mail order grooms.
I fucking love it. So her name was Betty Disto, and she arrived from the Philippines in 17.
Okay. So it's kind of like 90 Day Fiance kind of thing.
Kind of, except he. So, okay, this is, I think, the weird part. So I said that he wrote to her for 2 years before proposing, but she's a mail order bride. So, like, she's going to fucking marry you anyway. So, like, you know?
He wanted to get to know her.
I fucking guess.
He wanted, like, to connect with the personality and shit.
I guess. But yeah, so she arrived from the Philippines in September of 1985, and they got married on October 3rd, 1985.
It was October 3rd.
October 3rd. That was supposed to be the original wedding date, but then, you know, it got pushed back and all this bullshit. But anyway, still, I'm not bitter or anything, but I was going to make everyone wear something pink, and I'm real mad I can't do that. Anyway.
You still can. It's your wedding.
I know, but now it's a different vibe. Mm. But anyway. But the marriage rapidly deteriorated when she found him in bed with another woman. And he was having affairs with three other women and would force her to watch him have sex with them.
So he was like a swinger, but like also like halfly not like forcing her to?
I guess. I don't know.
That's
but it's also
messed up.
Is weird because if you're a mail order bride, don't you just like have to be married to them? Like that's what I don't understand.
But also, she came to America and like you don't have to do anything.
You know, I know, but like she was actually into it, or I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter. But She also accused him of repeatedly raping and assaulting her later on.
Oh, that's no bueno.
Yeah. But thankfully, with the help of the Filipino community in Philly, she was able to leave him in January of 86.
Oh, good.
Yeah. However, unbeknownst to him, until she requested child support payments in 87, he had gotten her pregnant. So on September 15th, 86, Disto gave birth to a son named Jesse John Disto, which I'm so glad the kid has her name and not fucking his.
Yeah.
But he also had another kid with a woman named Gail Lincow. His name was Gary Jr., but he was placed in foster care soon after his birth. So why would you make this man? Well, first of all, you name him Gary, give him that. If your name is Gary, love you. But and then you make him Gary Jr. and then you just adopt him, like give him up for adoption. So what, he used to go around and be like, oh, is your dad named Gary? I don't fucking know. I don't know him. Like what?
Yeah.
I don't know. But he had a third kid with a woman named Anjanette Davidson. And she was intellectually disabled. Their daughter, Maxine Davidson, was born on March 16th, 1978. And she was also immediately placed in foster care. So, you know, overall, great stand-up guy. Yeah. But also, I don't think the church would want you to just keep impregnating these people and then giving the kids up for adoption.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, okay.
Pro-life.
So was his church, like related to, like, a religion that was already established? Or was it kind of, like, one of these cult things where it's, like, he's God? Like,
I don't know. I didn't actually look up the church stuff.
Okay.
Sorry.
No, you're good.
I should have, but it was more about the murders, you know.
Oh yeah, no.
So I didn't like. I should have looked into that, but the only reason I mentioned the church thing is for later on. So
gotcha.
And just the fact that it's kind of weird, but
yeah.
Okay. So now I'm gonna talk strictly about his interactions with the legal system. So some of the dates I'm gonna talk about are gonna take us back in time. So. In 1976, he was charged with aggravated assault and carrying an unlicensed pistol after shooting the tenant of a house he offered for rent. And, yeah, so he grazed the man's face.
Jesus. With the bullet.
Yeah, right? In 78, shortly after the birth of Maxine, he signed out Anjanette's sister, who is Maxine's mom, mm-hmm. her sister, Alberta, from a mental institution on day leave and proceeded to imprison her in a locked storage shed in his basement.
What?
After they found her and she was returned to the hospital, they examined her and discovered that she had been raped, sodomized, and had contracted gonorrhea.
Wait, I feel like I know this case.
You might.
Okay, go ahead.
I Googled, like, murders that happened in Pennsylvania, and then this one came up, and I was like, oh, I don't think I know that. But then once it hit this part, I was like, okay, I think I know a little bit about it.
But yeah. Okay.
So he was arrested and charged with kidnapping, rape, unlawful restraint, false imprisonment, involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, which is the sodomization and shit. It's like the term. So in Pennsylvania, like, penis and vagina is rape. Okay, so anything else is involuntary deviant sexual intercourse, or IDSI. So if I say that, that's what that means.
Okay.
And it's just like a legal differentiation. I don't know why, but it's been around for fucking forever. So yeah, that's what it is.
Gotcha.
And interfering with the custody of a committed person. He was sentenced to 3 to 7 years.
That's it?
Yeah. But that, yeah. Are you kidding me? They don't... The law doesn't fucking take rape that fucking seriously. Anyway, that's a topic for another fucking day.
Yeah. That just, like, got me so irritated.
Yeah. And the original sentence was overturned on appeal, and he spent 3 years of his incarceration in mental institutions prior to being released in April of 83 under the supervision of a state-sanctioned mental health program. So, in 86, after Betty left him, he was arrested and charged with assault, indecent assault, spousal rape, and IDSI. So this is from her allegations of him against Betty, the wife. On November 25th, 1986, he abducted Josefina Rivera, who was 25. This is like really starting the story here.
Okay.
She was a mother of three who had struggled with drug addiction and was a sex worker. He took her back to his place, which was 3520 North Marshall Street in North Philly. And after having sex with her, he choked her until she was unconscious and then chained her up in his basement. He then dug a 4-foot deep pit in the basement floor and put her in it. And he would cover it with a weighted board if she tried to escape or misbehave. She spent weeks alone trapped in the pit until he kidnapped Sandra Lindsay, who was 24 and intellectually disabled, and she attended his church services on December 3rd, 1986 is when she was abducted.
But yeah, like, could you imagine? I know this case. I know this case.
But like, could you imagine, like, oh yeah, come to my church, and then you fucking abduct someone who does?
No. Nope. Wait, didn't he, like, hold like services upstairs and these girls were down in the basement?
I don't know. I didn't see that on the three article things I saw.
Or that's another case that I'm thinking of. But then the girl like ended up having a baby and then escaped. Oh, okay, so I'm thinking of a different case.
Yeah, it's not this one.
Okay.
The Criminal Minds article said that he had gotten Lindsay pregnant previously, but she had an abortion and it angered him. But, like, I don't know if that's true or not, but that's what that article said.
Wait, but if she was, like, locked in the basement, how would she have...
I think maybe beforehand.
Oh.
Okay. Like, yeah. I don't know. But, yeah, so he fed the two women irregularly, kept them half naked, and raped them repeatedly. On December 23rd, 1986, he brought 19-year-old Lisa Thomas over to his house. He drugged her wine and put her in the basement with the other women.
Oh, my God.
A week later, on January 2nd, 1987, Heidnik abducted Deborah Dudley, who was 23. While she was in captivity, she would try to defend herself against Heidnik, but was beaten and put in the pit more often than the others. Like, fucking good for her. Fucking fight that piece of shit.
Oh, my God, yeah.
After Dudley was abducted, he would further humiliate the women by forcing them to have sex with each other and made them eat dog food.
What the fuck?
Yeah. He's a fucking sick bastard. Like, could you, like... Ugh.
No, like, I can't even begin to imagine.
Torture is, like, one thing. I mean, you know what I mean. But, like, having to have sex with them, like...
Yeah.
I don't know. On January 18th, 1987, he abducted Jacqueline Askins. So these were all black women, and he raped, beat, and tortured them the whole time. He raped them daily because he wanted them all to get pregnant to satisfy his twisted idea of family. Yeah. Maybe that's part of his, like, church fucking thing. Let's just get everyone fucking pregnant. Everyone can have my babies. It's like in, what's the thing? I think it was in Texas, Waco, where, like, everyone was having his fucking kids.
Yeah.
He made them sleep in a tiny boarded-up pit, and tragically, not all of the women survived. On February 7th, Heidnik became angry with Lindsay and punished her by hanging her by her wrists from a roof beam for 2 days.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she developed a fever and died the next morning. So he took her body upstairs, dismembered her body with a power saw, but he had problems dealing with her arms and legs, so he put them in a freezer and labeled them dog food. He cooked her ribs in an oven and boiled her head in a pot on the stove.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Police came to his house after the neighbors complained that a bad odor was coming from his house, but they left after he explained that he was cooking a roast, but fell asleep and burnt it. Yeah.
Same fucking thing. Like,
same thing with as a fucking Dahmer. They complain, the white man talks his way out of it, cops leave. Love that. So he fed some parts of her to his two dogs. Oh, and my God. Yes. And were forced to eat something they believed contained her body parts. Yeah. No. Rivera, one of the women, said, quote, "There was this horrible, horrible smell I will never forget in my life. It was bad. This odor was consuming," end quote. But his defense attorney, Chuck Peruto, said that when they examined the tools in his kitchen, they found no evidence of this. Like, no evidence that he ground her up and did all this stuff. And
what?
Peruto said that he made up the story to support the insanity defense. So the attorney said that Heidnik started the rumor of cannibalism in public, and that, in fact, there was no evidence of anyone eating human flesh.
Okay, well, where did she go?
I don't know. Yep, exactly. I don't know.
Like, what?
Yep. Hey, everyone. This is Jaden and Megan from the future. Ooh. And we... Yeah, ooh. We just wanted to throw in this little quick disclaimer, because there we do talk about some aspects of torture and stuff like that. So we just wanted to give a little preface so that you're prepared.
So for those of you who are a little more sensitive to the nitty-gritty topics,
yeah, the graphicness,
we suggest that you fast forward like a minute or two to kind of bypass some of those
lovely details.
Yeah.
But yeah, so without further ado, keep listening.
Have fun.
Yeah. After that, Heidnik bribed his captives into telling him one another. Rivera told him that the others planned to attack him and escape. So that they would not be able to hear him come down the stairs into the basement, he cuffed each of their hands and feet together and hung them from a basement beam, gagged them, and drove screwdrivers through their eardrums.
No.
So that he made them deaf. But he did not do this to Rivera. Yeah. Could you, like...
Hold on. Yeah. I need a second.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That is just a whole other level of just... Oh, my God, that's going to give me, like, a headache.
I'm sorry.
No. Like, just thinking about it. That was a lot. Yeah. Wow.
So he then started to use electrocution on the women, except Rivera, who began cooperating with Heidnik, even helping him torture the other women out of desperation to survive. She also had other, quote, privileges after apparently becoming his favorite, including being occasionally allowed upstairs to watch a movie or being allowed to be raped in a more comfortable environment.
Oh, that's so generous.
Yes, how nice of him. Thank you so much. This caused a rift between the captives, although in her interview with Oxygen, Rivera made it clear that she was doing it in an attempt to get them out. So Deborah was the next woman who was murdered. So Deborah was the fighter. Heidnik filled the pit with freezing water and then forced Rivera to place a live wire to her chains. Yeah.
Oh my God.
So it shocked her in the water and eventually killed her.
Jesus. And
yeah, so she was murdered on March 19th, 1987. And he disposed of her body in the Pine Barrens in New Jersey. Heidnik took Rivera to dispose of her body and on his expedition to capture another girl. On March 23rd, 1987, he kidnapped 24-year-old sex worker Agnes Adams, and this horrified the other women. Jackie told Oxygen that, quote, "I looked and remember her doing it. It was like they were together. At some point in time, I just thought they were together." So, yeah, the women were horrified because it was like, Rivera is literally just helping him torture and murder us and, like, find and bring new ones in. So they were fucking scared. But the next day, Rivera convinced Heidnik to let her go temporarily so she could visit her family. And he probably thought she had fallen to, like, Stockholm Syndrome and wouldn't run to the police. So he drove her to a gas station and said that he would wait at the gas station for her there. She walked a block away and then called 911.
Good.
Thank God. The responding officers, who noticed that there was chafing from where the chains were on her leg, went to the gas station and arrested the fucking bastard. Thank fucking God.
Good.
Yeah.
Now, think about it. Would they have if she didn't have those marks?
Oh, she's on drugs, you know.
No, I would go at least check it out to make sure that there wasn't anything going on.
You would hope, but, like, what is this, 1987? I don't know. Nope, she's not white. Like, she's a sex worker. Like, I think probably from the area. So, thank goodness. They saw that. But anyway. So, although Rivera helped to save the women, the surviving three wanted to press charges against her as well as Heidnik. Jackie said, quote, Rivera, she killed Debbie, and we all could have gone out of there alive. There was a lot of stuff she did that she didn't have to do. I just thought she took on her serial killer ideal, too. She was the oldest. She was supposed to protect us. Even though she was in a bad situation, she was still supposed to protect us, end quote. But the DA declined to press charges against her, though, as she had saved them in the end and was forced by Heidnik to participate in the crimes, which was a unique form of torture for Rivera.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, like, you can't really, like, fault her, even though it's shitty, but it's, like, also, he would probably hurt her if she wasn't doing it, you know?
Right, and she did get that advantage of gaining his trust kind of thing. Even though, I don't know if that was really executed. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. She got, what, the three of them out.
Yeah.
That's a slippery slope. But it's kind of like, I know for a fact that there's definitely those people that are like, well, you still cooperated and yada, yada, yada. Yeah. So, like, you are at fault, too. And it's like, no. When you're under those circumstances, one, you don't know how you're going to react. And two, like, most of the time people try to, like humanize themselves to the person who's holding them captive to kind of get that human emotion out of them to get them to let them go. You know what I mean? So it's like, I feel like she was doing what she could, even though, like, it looked bad to the other girls.
Yeah.
Because, like, ultimately, and she did get them out.
Yeah. And, I mean, she's been in this, like, the longest. Like, she's been dealing with this for fucking, like, ever. Like, all that shit in her head now, like.
Yeah.
But anyway, so, yeah. His purported best friend, Cyril, a.k.a. Tony Brown, was also arrested. He was released on bail and agreed to testify against Heidnik. In part, Brown admitted that he witnessed Lindsay's death in the basement and that he witnessed Heidnik dismember her body. He's like, why'd you go to the fucking police, you psychopath?
Yeah, for real.
Unless he was like, oh, I'm terrified. Like, you're going to do this to me. But anyway. Shortly after his arrest in April 86, Heidnik attempted to hang himself in his jail cell. Get fucking this. Ready? At his arraignment, he claimed that the women were already in the house when he moved in. Let's just take a moment to laugh at that fucking defense.
What was the end goal of saying that?
That he didn't kidnap them and bring them in? So, okay, I move into a house. There are random women chained to the in the basement. And so I just, like, kept them and tortured them.
Let me keep torturing them too.
Right? I don't know what he was fucking thinking, but.
Was that at the advice of his lawyers?
I don't know. I don't know if he had the lawyers then, but I don't know.
That makes no sense, but okay.
Yeah. But at trial, Peruto, who is his defense attorney, attempted to prove that he was legally insane, but it was successfully rebutted by the prosecution. So the lead prosecutor on the case was Charles F. Gallagher III.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's a title.
The fact that Heidnik successfully amassed approximately $550,000 through his brokerage account was used to prove that he was an astute investor and therefore not insane. So that and testimony from his financial advisor was used to prove that he was competent for trial. And the dude, his financial advisor, called him, quote, an astute investor who knew exactly what he was doing, end quote. On July 1st, 1988, he was convicted of 2 counts of first-degree murder for Sandra Lindsay and Deborah Dudley, 5 counts of kidnapping, 6 counts of rape, 4 counts of ag assault, and 1 count of IDSI. He was sentenced to death and incarcerated at the State Correctional Institution at Pittsburgh.
Oh, we love to see it!
Right? And so the other 4 women survived. In January 1989, he attempted to commit suicide with an overdose of his prescribed Thorazine, but he only fell into a brief coma. He was scheduled to be executed on April 15, 1997, but his daughter Maxine and ex-wife Betty filed a suit in federal court in which they requested a stay of execution on the basis that he was not competent enough to be executed. Also, I don't know why these two fucking fought for him. Like, Maxine, he gave you up for fucking... Betty, he fucking raped you. Like, fuck this man. He gets what he fucking deserves.
Honestly, though, he does.
Yeah. But after 2 years of legal proceedings in various courts, in 1999, the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of PA affirmed the death sentence and cleared the way for that bastard's fucking execution.
Yes.
So he was executed by lethal injection on July 6, 1999 at SCI Rockview in Center County at the age of 55.
Yay!
Look at that! So next week. Right? Next week is basically July 6th. Just remember to celebrate.
2 weeks, I think.
You're right.
That made my night. I'm so happy.
So Jackie, Sandra's family, and Deborah's family attended the execution, and his body was cremated. As of 2021, he was the last person to be executed by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. He remains the 3rd of only 3 people who have been executed in PA since the death penalty was brought back. Fun fact, he was one of 6 real-life murderers who Thomas Harris based Buffalo Bill on in Silence of the Lambs. So
nice.
Right? Because, you know, he's got the fucking pit in the movie.
Yeah.
So Sandra's sister told the Philadelphia Magazine, quote, I went to the execution, but it was too calm and serene for me. I'm thinking execution is something like, turn around and let me shoot you. Instead, they just stuck a needle in his arm. He never looked at us, never acknowledged us, never said he was sorry. He didn't say anything. He didn't even look in our direction. End quote. Jackie said, quote, I watched him die. It didn't bring no satisfaction. End quote.
That's got to be so hard because you go to this thing thinking that you're going to get some sort of closure, but... Especially that he didn't look at them, he didn't acknowledge them, he didn't say he was sorry. Like,
yeah,
they didn't get that closure they needed.
Yeah. Like, and I know that people, like, whose families, members have, like, been murdered, they're, some of them are like, yeah, it helped me, but others are like, it didn't do fucking shit, like, my family member's still dead or whatever, you know?
Yeah, it won't ever bring that person back or reverse that trauma that it inflicted.
Mm-hmm. Rivera did not attend the execution and said that, quote, it would have been better for him to sit in a 4x4. All of the survivors received a $30,000 settlement, but Thomas and Adams were never really able to recover and have dealt with mental health issues and addictions in the years since. I mean, Rivera returned to sex work for a year after the trial, but eventually gave up that line of work and drugs for good. She has worked a number of jobs and was able to reunite with her 3 children who had been put up for adoption. She lives in New Jersey with her husband and is still in counseling and experiences panic attacks, but they have gotten better. She still has to turn off the TV if she sees chains or handcuffs, though.
I can't even imagine.
She said that, quote, for a long time, I was haunted by Heidnik, by the women who died next to me. But not any longer. I hope I can inspire other victims to feel positive about the future, end quote. Askins still lives in Philly and cleans houses. She's close with her 2 sons, who are now adults, and is on meds to help her deal with anxiety and trauma. And she said that she still suffers from intense flashbacks and still can't enter any basement. Like, I fucking wouldn't either.
I don't blame her at all. Like, I don't even have, like, any sort of, like, severe trauma. Mm-hmm. But things that have happened to me that, like, I still haven't been able to get over. And yeah. I can't even imagine something as terrifying as what she went through.
Yep. Nope. Not fucking at all. Askins and Rivera did have a meeting. Askins said, quote, "I ain't gonna lie. I did have some hate for you. I blamed you for a lot of stuff that happened down there," end quote. But after Rivera explained her situation, Askins was able to better understand her. Askins said, quote, "I think the plan you did was the best one. We're here," end quote. And yeah. The two parted on a hopeful note, believing the reunion was essential for both of them to heal. And that is the fucking terrible story of the fucking monster preacher, Gary Heidnik.
Oh my god. Those women are so strong for what they went through. Like, I can't. My heart goes out to them. I can't even imagine.
Yeah. Like, fucking psychopath.
I can't believe there's people like that out there.
I know. Like, how do you do that?
To another person.
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing that has me, like, all into true crime. It's like, how can you do that to another living being? Like, I don't understand. And it's not something for, like, either of us to understand because our brains don't work that way.
Yeah.
It's just insane to me. It's insanity.
Yep. I don't know.
That was brutal.
Yeah. Not the one I wanted to do, but I feel like it was still good.
Man, that was intense. But I haven't had to, like, have you pause for me to, like, gather myself in a while.
I know.
It was just that one part that I was like, oh, I was not.
Yeah.
I know that case, like, the case that you just said. I didn't know it super well, but when you got to that part, I was like, yeah, I know this case. Like, yep.
But yeah, just don't think about it too hard, and then it doesn't fuck you up as much. But, like, when you, like, imagine the screwdrivers, just don't do that.
No.
Ugh. Yeah, no. It's like, even, like, when you, like, accidentally stick a Q-tip in your ear too much, like, too far.
Yes.
I couldn't even imagine, like, getting that. I'm not going to reiterate what it is.
But, like, yeah, I was going to say, I was like,
yeah. You're welcome.
That was a really good one, though.
Thanks.
A little nerve-wracking. Well, yeah. A lot of nerve-wracking, but...
But okay, is there anything good going on in your life?
Tomorrow I get my bottom braces on, so it's not really the best, but I'm like, hey, I'm one step closer to getting them off. So.
You are. That's a great outlook.
I know, I'm trying. I'm not excited about it, and I know I'm going to be in so much pain this week. It's fine.
I guess take lots of meds.
Yeah, I'm going to be... on ibuprofen like it's candy this week, so
wish me luck. Yeah, good luck. We're sending all our love.
Thanks.
It's like your birthday gift to your dad is getting braces
on his birthday. I know.
It's like, dad, take care of me.
Right. No, but yeah, I'm excited tomorrow. I'm gonna go back over, even though I was just there today and yesterday, to hang out with them. So, it'll be nice.
Yeah.
I think it's supposed to rain all day tomorrow, so hopefully we get a thunderstorm, because I freaking love thunderstorms.
Oh, I love thunderstorms, man.
I love me a good thunderstorm.
That's the one thing I'm super missing from Colorado, because it's so fucking humid here, and, like, I love the heat, but I hate the humidity. Like, I miss Colorado, man.
Oh, yeah. I need to go down so bad.
Yeah. But also, my brother is turning 17 next weekend, and I am not ready. I am not ready for my baby to be 17 years old.
That's crazy.
My little man, I'm not ready.
Isn't it? It's so weird because I feel like I'm the same age as I was when they were like 6.
Dude, and the fact same.
That, like, my brother's going to be turning 21 in January has me feeling
some sort of way.
Yeah. And not in a good way.
No.
But, I mean, like, my brother's, like, my best friend, obviously. I mean, he's my man of honor. I always did things with him when he was younger. But, like, I feel like now, especially because, like, him and Tyler hang out all the fucking time. Like, they play games together, and like, all the time.
Yeah.
So, like, the three of us hang out all the time. So, like, I like that aspect of him being older. But so makes me sad because he's not my little man anymore.
Right? Like, I'm in the same boat, but at the same time, it's like, oh, my God, we'll all be able to, like, go out to the bar together and hang out. Like,
yeah. Being, like, I always see those things, those memes that are, like, you hate, like, being siblings is weird. Like, you hate them, and then at one point, you're just like, yo, you're not a bad dude. And then you're, like, best friends with them.
Yeah. No, there's still some times where my brother, like, can totally just, like, switch a nerve with me. But no, I love them both so much.
There was a thing that one of the dudes I work with, he showed me this one thing that was like this one, the one kid, his mom was an only child and his dad was an only child, so like he didn't have any cousins. Like, could you imagine how weird that would be?
No, because I come from like a super big family.
Same.
I can't.
But the good thing about that is you would save so much money on fucking wedding because you wouldn't have to invite everyone. Like, half of my fucking wedding list is my parents' siblings.
Right? But, like, so.
But I love it. I love
it. A lot of the, most of the weddings I've been to has been, like, in my mom's family, like, my mom's side of the family. Well, also my dad's, but, like, they've all been cousins, so it's, like, super nice because, like, I mean, the only other time you really see everyone in the same room is, like, for a funeral, but, yes. Like.
Or a reunion.
But, I mean, like, even
yeah, no, I feel
a reunion, like, we only really see my one side of the family.
Yeah.
So, I'm just so excited because, like, all the weddings I've been to have been, like, families. Like, this year I have a bunch of just friends, which I'm excited to go to, but I'm nervous because I don't know everyone there. But when it's, like, my cousins, like, we're you know all everyone. Just having such a blast and it's so much fun.
I know. Oh, yeah, I'm complaining, but I'm not actually complaining. Story of my life.
Right? But I can't wait for my wedding. My wedding's going to be so much fun.
Oh, I'm ready too.
Future husband, please just drop by.
Yeah.
Like right now.
No, not right now. That'd be scary. I'd be like, why the fuck are you knocking on my house at 11:30 in the fucking night, you psychopath? My location is shared with Jaden. She knows where I am. Fucking leave.
True. Yeah, no, don't stop by right now, but, like, next time I'm at the bar, come on up to me. Actually, don't, because I'm going to be like, who are you?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, I didn't tell you.
What?
So, when I went to the bar last week, just kidding, it was the week before.
Okay.
I lied. But anyway, so me and my roommate and our friend, we go to Rialto's, okay? And we're standing there. And we're like, oh, we should probably leave. Because we went to go see, they opened up this stupid, like, little room. Like, it's like, they cut out, like, a door in the wall. And then they have this separate little room where there's another bar. It literally looks like Garfield's nightmare. We walk out, and we're standing there. And my stressed out, anxiety-filled ass sees this whole line of guys sitting at the bar turn around and all look at us and I go, guys, we need to go outside right now. Like, I freak out and we all walk outside and they were like, what's wrong? I was like, that whole line of guys just turned around and looked at us. And my roommate goes, Megan, when a guy looks at you, you don't freak out and say, I need to leave right now. That is not what you're supposed to do.
Oh, I love it.
Well, that's oh, wait, you're right. Absolutely hate Rialto's with everything in me. And we finally found this new, it's not new, but like it's called Six Club and you need to be a member to go. I'm a member now, so like, hey, when you come back home, come with me. We're gonna hang out there. Drinks are literally
a fucking member.
because my friends were members and me and my roommate went, we were like, oh, we really like this place.
Oh, gotcha. Plus,
drinks are like $3. So.
Love that.
I know, right?
I'm coming.
Yes, you need to. It's so nice. And just like low key, it's definitely my type of bar. And I never want to go to Rialto's ever again, even though we found ourselves there this past weekend.
Well, don't forget to follow us.
A Little Thing Called Murder, Instagram, ALTC Murder on Twitter. A Little Thing Called Murder @gmail.com for all of your questions, comments, concerns, etc. And 5 stars on Apple Podcasts because you know we're the best.
Yes. Share us with everyone that you love because you love us and we love you. Yes. We appreciate you. But yeah,
I think that's it.
Yeah. Until next time.
Don't forget to trust your gut.
Because it's better to be fucking safe than fucking sorry.
All right. You guys have a great week. And we will see you next week.
Bye.
Bye.